This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 201, where I talk to Ethan Jones from CodeShip about CI and CD in the cloud. All right, Ethan Jones, welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show. Ethan's from CodeShip, one of our fantastic sponsors on the show here at Microsoft Cloud Show. And what we thought we'd do is get CodeShip on the show to talk about, you know, what CodeShip does and how it can improve and impact you with regards to your CI/CD and world as developers and shipping software. So welcome, Ethan, to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you having me on. Like you said, I'm from CodeShip, so we're a cloud CI/CD service. And essentially what that means is we'll help you automate the testing and deployment of your code as long as everything's happening in the cloud. What I specifically do at CodeShip is work with a lot of new customers, and particularly new customers using our Docker product, which we call CodeShip Pro. So we've got two services, and we can unpack that a little. And if you're signing up for CodeShip, if you're trying to learn about it, there's a good chance you'll interact with me. And we try to make sure new customers have a great experience, have a lot of assistance, and that things we learn coming back from you make their way back into the product as well.
Gotcha. So for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with CodeShip, could you give us a little background about where CodeShip came from, sort of how it led to this point, and kind of what the motivation for building better tools in this space was?
Yeah, so CodeShip is about 4 or 5 years old now, actually comes from Vienna, where the company was started. And our current CEO, Mo, and a couple other guys started the company at that point, primarily focusing on making it easier to release Ruby on Rails apps at the time and just automate that. So out of that grew a much more full-service solution. The company ended up entering into Techstars. From there, we just kind of kept growing over the last few years. And starting about a year ago, we launched a second product, which we call CodeShip Pro, which is doing the same thing as CodeShip Basic, just trying to make it as simple as possible for a developer to automate testing and releasing their code into production, into staging, into different environments. But this time, we focused on more advanced use cases, on power users, on Docker, and things like that.
Gotcha. So it's, in essence, the whole goal of CodeShip is to make it as streamlined and smooth and automated from the moment you check in code out through to those different environments without having to do a whole lot of manual effort along the way, by the sounds of it.
Yep, exactly. And check-in is a good way to put it, since we rely on Git workflows for everything. So we play nice with GitHub, GitLab, Bitbucket, and we actually use your check-in as, you might call it, the source of truth for running your build. So every time you check in code, we're going to run your tests. And if you check in code on branches you tell us are deployment branches, then if those tests pass, we'll go ahead and start deploying to your different environments as you instruct us to.
Yeah, gotcha. I think a lot of our listeners come from a world where historically a developer would write a piece of code and obviously get it to a certain point of it working, I guess, for want of a better word, and then go commit it or, you know, check it in or something like that to their source system and, you know, maybe make a build and then, you know, take that build on a stick or something over to a server or onto another machine or transfer it over somehow and go through and install it or update the build that's there and things before sort of letting the rest of the test team know, hey, there's a new build available and to go start doing those tests and things. For those of our listeners who aren't familiar with this fully automated CI and CD world, first up, I guess, what does CI and CD mean to CodeShip and what do those things mean in general? And then how does that help? How does this help a typical dev's life with, rather than doing it that historical way?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. CI/CD simply, obviously continuous integration, continuous deployment. And that first part, continuous integration, that's essentially automating the merging of your code via running all of your unit tests, making sure any commits you put into your repo are passing, or if they're not passing, you giving information back to you that you're not passing so that you know which branches are not healthy. And then as you promote code to different branches, as you merge feature branches into other branches, continuing to run new builds anytime those integrations happen. So on a branch by branch level or step by step level, you're getting a health check on your code, making sure the tests are passing and that any changes are reflected in current builds, which goes on to that next step, which is that continuous deployment piece. So on some branches, maybe you have a branch called staging or a branch called master. If all your tests pass, Well, then what we do is that continuous delivery or continuous deployment piece where we take it one step further and then actually release your code into your environments, which can happen a number of ways. So we have integrations with things like Heroku. We've got the ability to run your own custom deployment scripts, anything from really complex stuff, let's say using Docker and Kubernetes, all the way down to simple SSH and rsync style deployments. So you tell us what deployment means to you. We just automate it on the branches you want and only in the conditions that all of your tests pass. And so one workflow to imagine is you check in code into a feature branch. We run tests and they're all good. So you then merge that code into a branch called staging. And then we'll run the tests and deploy the code to your staging environment. And then when that looks good to you, merge staging into master. Same thing, but this time it's released to master. And what's happening throughout this process is your developers, they're not having to go deploy code to staging and master. They're not having to go run new builds. They're not having to go communicate with each other about the health of these things. It's automated and they're all sharing a dashboard so they can instantly see those results.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think at least historically, a long time back now, when I was starting off as a dev earlier in my career, you know, one of the things we'd strike was we wanted to release software more often, but the cost or the effort associated with that was kind of prohibitive, right? And so people ended up writing more code for longer before you sort of bit the bullet and did a release. And it sounds like tooling is a whole lot more easy, a lot more accessible, I guess, and also much easier to set up now than it was then. And so the cost has really been driven down in terms of effort, at least on doing releases and getting more healthy software out more quickly by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I'd say that's right. And I think cost is a good way to look at it, because ideally if a service like CodeShip is in your workflow in the right place and it's helping you, what you should see is you're just not afraid of releasing the code. Mm. You're not afraid because A, you know it's been tested, and B, because if you need to do it again, it's not scary, it can happen quickly, and you're not going to lose a lot of time around those types of things.
That is a real mental shift for a lot of people, I think, that have gone from being scared about deploying to being scared of not deploying. That's definitely a change that I think we've seen in the last, I don't know, maybe 5 or 8 years especially, as the tools have got better around this stuff. A lot of our folks that listen to the show come from, you know, working in big enterprises and working on projects that involve lots and lots of different people and different teams and all that sort of stuff, mostly on Microsoft technology up to this point. And, you know, historically, CodeShip, from my understanding, hasn't played a great deal in the Microsoft space. But now that you guys are getting into doing deployments into Azure and Docker and so forth, you seem to be making a bunch more investments in this space. Is that fair to say? And kind of where are you guys going with this, with your direction around Azure?
Yeah, so it's actually a really kind of cool time, I think, to be in that general space and that ecosystem. And it's new and exciting for us at CodeShip as well, to be honest, because historically, like I said, we started as a Rails company, which grew into general cloud and web technologies. And because it was always cloud and because it had to be things we could automate with cloud services, that didn't always make it the easiest to get hooks into the Microsoft ecosystem. But over the last few years, of course, we've seen Microsoft make such a huge investment into cross-platform support, and particularly recently, even Docker support. So we've got this product we call CodeShip Pro, which is where you're seeing really us really start to look at how we can support Microsoft workflows better. And that's because Pro is built on Docker. And so it's not only for Docker teams or Docker apps, but it does use Docker to let you sort of define your own cloud environment for CI/CD. And when you combine that with the fact that Microsoft has invested so much in things like making .NET awesome on Docker and releasing great Docker things like the Azure Container Service and Azure Container Registry, we just kind of found out that, hey, CodeShip works increasingly awesome for Microsoft teams, and it's something that we're excited to keep learning more about as well, because it's starting to come together as a really good fit.
That's really interesting. Here during my day job, I guess, at Hyperfish, we're a Docker shop, but we deploy in Azure multiple times a day in different environments and things. So we've definitely been, you know, looking at what tools can we use to help us make that much easier for our small team with little to no effort and release more and more frequently without being afraid. So it's definitely something we're investing in pretty heavily. And I imagine, you know, lots of other teams are as they, Microsoft teams, I should say, as they look into using cloud services like Azure and AWS and how they deploy their code assets and builds and so forth to those environments.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, CodeShip Basic, which is the product CodeShip has had up until now, sort of our classic, super simple, centralized, hosted product. So it doesn't use Docker. You're running your builds on these big Linux machines where we've configured a lot of stuff. Those don't really support Microsoft technologies effectively per se because they're pre-configured Linux machines. They do have Azure support in the sense that as long as you're essentially using Azure the way you might use AWS as just a hosted instance. And you can deploy just fine on CodeShip Basic to Azure. We have a lot of people that have done that for years. Just your standard web deployment to Azure. And then on CodeShip Pro, it's just taken the next step further where we can use things like Azure Container Service and you can build Azure instances in your environment through the Azure command line because you can run the Azure command line in a Docker container and you can even start building .NET projects since those run on Linux containers. So it's just been a level up for us in terms of what we can support as far as Microsoft workflows go.
Yeah, gotcha. I guess it's a whole new audience that's just sort of showing up over the last year or so, I guess, since ACS has really become a thing in Azure and Microsoft's become more and more friendly with deploying, you know, Linux VMs and infrastructure and things to Azure. I think I heard a statistic the other day that customers are deploying, in terms of virtual machines, are deploying almost 1.5 times as many Linux machines into Azure as they are Windows machines now. They're certainly, it's a whole different world being we're seeing from Microsoft.
Yeah, and it's super exciting. One of the things we were very fortunate to have is over the last several months, we've actually gotten a lot of help from some really cool Microsoft team members. Jessica Dean, she's out of San Francisco with Microsoft. And then a guy named Ian Philpott, who's in, I believe he's based in Seattle and just bumped into him at DockerCon. And so Microsoft has actually given us some internal developers to help us build out some of these Docker-based Azure integrations so that we can work better with them. And one of the cool things learning from them and working hand in hand with these awesome Microsoft developers is just seeing that, hey, they're rockstar Linux developers and they're as excited for cross-platform as we were. And it just let us build out something really, really cool because Microsoft was so willing to invest in it alongside us.
Gotcha. Yeah. So say I'm a Microsoft developer and hypothetically speaking, building a basic web app and that has an API component to it, as well as maybe a React web front end or something along those lines. And I want to do the back end and .NET Core and C Sharp and all those kinds of things. How would I go about packaging and defining and really integrating CodeShip Pro into my process to help me get code that I write on my Visual Studio Code instance, and maybe I'm checking it into Git or what have you. How do I go from that point to sort of automating all the things with CodeShip Pro?
Yeah, so the way CodeShip Pro kind of fits in there and kind of the rubric where you can tell if for any specific project, CodeShip is going to be the right fit for you for the task is your project using Docker containers beginning to end? And can those containers run on Linux build machines triggered by Git in the cloud? So that's not going to be every Microsoft project, but it's, you know, an increasing slice of the pie, as you just said. And if you check those boxes, so you're using Docker containers, you're using Git in the cloud, then the way you look at integrating with CodeShip is you essentially plug the repo up to CodeShip, and then we've got a couple configuration files that get added to the repo. The first one tells us what your build environment is going to look like. So basically telling us how to build your Docker containers. And that file is not a Docker Compose file, but we model it as heavily on a Docker Compose file as we can to make it really, really simple to pick up.
I see. So they're familiar with the syntax and what the majority of the concepts mean and things like that.
Yeah, we sat down. We didn't want to invent a CodeShip style file. We wanted to reuse what people were already learning and picking up. So the bulk of that file is going to look like Compose and make sense to you. And then that second file is very simple, and it's just a list of the commands in the pipeline with some special options about what you want to run in parallel, what branches you want to run them on, and then, of course, what containers are supposed to run which commands.
Gotcha. I see. And so I go up into CodeShip Pro, obviously. I connect up to my GitHub or what have you. I can mark, hey, this repo I want to go build. I've got to build those definitions of exactly what the environment looks like and what the steps are and so forth. And then say I want to take those, so that goes in when a build runs, obviously when I make a commit, it's going to take those code assets and go through that build pipeline and go and pop out a Docker image, I'm guessing, out of the other end of it. Where does that go? Or what choices do I have around where that goes? And what sort of things do you integrate with there?
Yeah, so that's a really good way to look at it, because the kind of cop-out answer is it goes wherever you want, but it actually doesn't even have to be a Docker image at the other side of that. And so what I mean by that is what we essentially did with Pro is kind of change the metaphor for thinking about CI/CD in the cloud a little bit, or we tried to. So there's a lot of great CI/CD services on the market that solve a number of different problems and different use cases. The one we particularly built Pro for was this idea of really, really flexible and customizable in the way that often cloud services don't let you be. So where we see Pro fitting in is for customers that are maybe even used to things up to like a level of Jenkins, where you really like granular control of that environment. And so the concept is kind of that in that first file I mentioned where you're defining your containers, those containers might be your application, which is fine, but those containers are also essentially the build machine your CI/CD process runs in. So if you have a non-Docker-based app, or what you're deploying into production is code that you're rsyncing over, or a Docker swarm, or Kubernetes, or even something like Ansible, or Chef, or Puppet, that's fine, because that first file is telling us, here's the Docker containers that are my build environment, or almost even these are what the VMs I need my environment to look like are, just with Docker containers as the de facto VM, if that makes sense.
Yeah, gotcha. I see. So yeah, a lot of the services I've looked at in the past for doing various builds that where you don't control the machine, they're often very limited in terms of flexibility of the environment that they provide you, right? So you get a machine or an environment spec'd just a particular way with just a certain list of things already pre-installed. And then everything on top of that, you've either got to somehow sort of hack in through different scripts or what have you, or maybe it's not possible at all. And so I guess the difference here with CodeShip Pro is you've got a lot more fine-grained control over your build environment and the environment that your builds run in, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And the positive spin on the what you first described, the more limited scenario, which is how CodeShip Basic works, is it allows us to really optimize for simplicity. So if you sign up for CodeShip Basic and you're using a Rails app deploying to Heroku or Azure, and we try to make that the simplest possible experience, and we can do that because we control the environment so tightly. Pro is going to require more setup on your end, but the flip side of that is pretty much anything you can run inside of a Docker container, you can now automate in a CI/CD process in the cloud with CodeShip. So if you want to do complex things like I mentioned, like deploy to Docker swarms or use Chef, Puppet, Ansible, really complex tools that you typically might not see fitting into some really controlled cloud environments, those are all going to be workable in a CodeShip Pro workflow.
Gotcha. I see. So ultimate sort of flexibility, but with it comes a little bit more complexity from your basic product in that you have to go define what the environment looks like and what all the steps are and things like that.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Excellent. So my web and my API, you know, app that I'm building, doing it in C# with, you know, .NET Core and things. I want to pop two Docker containers out of the end. I want a web container, obviously, it's going to run the front end of my web app, and I want to run an API container, which has my API and access to data and so forth. In my build steps in CodeShip Pro, I obviously go compile my application or do whatever steps are required to sort of build the app. And then I'm assuming I go launch some commands to go do a Docker build for building an image. Is that the likely next step? Is that code I have to write, or is that sort of a checkbox and a toggle that I turn on as part of your build steps?
The Docker build is fully abstracted from you. If the service is defined, meaning if you've said in your configuration file, build this Docker file or build this image, that'll happen automatically. What you need to instruct us to do is what to do with it. So do you want us to...
Gotcha.
Push that out to the Azure Container Service, or push that out to Docker Hub, or do you just want to build it for the purposes of testing it, but when you deploy, maybe you don't have Docker in production, so your deployment is going to be a code-based deployment. You can do any of that. You're just telling us what assets to build, so to speak, and those would be the images you just mentioned, and then just kind of telling us where you want to put those, and then maybe using environment variables or things like that so that we can authenticate where we need to authenticate.
Yeah, gotcha. And send it to the right places. When I go and make a commit, say I make a bug fix on my API, for example, and I go and make the commit and push it up to GitHub, what's the typical startup times and times that builds take, and how quickly do these sort of steps take on average or in a typical type of project?
Yeah, so it's hard to say a typical type of project. The builds start pretty much instantly as soon as that code hits your repo. So we've got build machines pool at all times, so you never have to wait for us to build infrastructure. The builds just start running.
I see.
The actual build time should run more or less depends on how big the images are, how big your test suites are. But these machines are scalable, so you get to pick what size machine you want to run your build on, how much CPU and memory you want.
I see.
Which is a really cool pricing sort of optimization we've made. And then I didn't mention this earlier, but CodeShip Pro and CodeShip Basic both do have free plans with 100 builds a month, so they're very easy to jump in and play around with. But when you do look at Pro, you have a lot of control over things like performance, because you can say, I want to parallelize 8 different test suites, and I'm going to need a big machine to do that, so I'm going to pay for a bigger machine. Or you could say, I'll run the 8 things serially, and I'll just get a smaller machine. And that's your decision to make.
I see. That's nice. So you can decide how important is speed more important, or is cost more important, and you get to sort of pick your spot on that spectrum.
Yep, exactly. And we're able to do that because every build runs on a dedicated build machine. So there's no shared VMs. Every build you run is going to run on a machine by itself that has no other resource allocated to any other project.
I see. Nice. So for those who are concerned about their assets, you know, being in a shared environment with other people's assets and things like that, you're doing it in such a manner that it's your machine for that build. You deploy the right things to it. You go do the builds, and obviously clean up afterwards.
Yep, exactly. So we kill those machines. All builds run on dedicated machines, and those machines are only ever used once. So we're never even persisting your code in between builds or anything like that. The machines are dedicated, but also temporal. So we try to keep that code very isolated, and we don't want to hang on to it really any more than you probably want us to hang on to it.
Sure, sure. Oh no, that makes a lot of sense. So people can sort of rest assured that when their build is done, you're killing the VM and it's disappearing and never be seen again.
Exactly.
Gotcha. So in terms of deployment, and especially with regards to Azure, you've mentioned Azure Container Service and the Docker registry stuff that Azure supports. Are those typically the two main integration points you have with Azure? Are there any others that you think would be interesting for our listeners?
Yeah, so the kind of cool thing is that essentially the way deployments are going to work on CodeShip Pro is it's really just, again, a container you define that authenticates. In the case of Azure, as well as a bunch of other services, up at the CodeShip Docker Hub and on the CodeShip GitHub page, you'll find that we've put a lot of these images together to make it faster. So you can find an image that we've built just for authenticating with Azure. And that's actually the image we got a nice assist from the Microsoft team in helping us put together. So once you have that authentication, though, let's say, it's essentially just a container with the Azure CLI authenticating with your Azure account. So
gotcha.
You don't have to worry too much about what integrations we support, because you can just imagine the Azure CLI at your fingertips logged into your account. So anything you can run in that container is going to be supported.
I see. So if in that container you want to, you authenticate with Azure, and obviously you have that kind of out of the box already, but I could go in and write a script to go spin up a certain amount of infrastructure or configure networking a certain way, or maybe some configuration of storage accounts or queues or what have you, and I've got the full power of the Azure CLI at my fingertips to be able to go and do that deployment, or perhaps provide an ARM template or something along those lines and use that to go and provision a set of hardware that I want to deploy to. Maybe it's a temporary environment just for that build to go and test or run that build in a kind of a special staging environment. I could go spin up the infrastructure and the configuration of the environment to do that, and then go and deploy my assets to it by the sounds of it.
Yep, exactly. And that's That's really one of the nice pieces of flexibility, which is you don't have to rely on us saying, here's how we work with Azure. Like we do, like I said, provide these containers to make the authentication step much quicker and easier for you so you don't have to roll your own every time. But once you're authenticated, it's really up to you how you want to use Azure. If you want to create new instances per deploy, kill old machines, just release assets. If you want to use Azure Container versus just deploy code, those commands are completely in your control. What we have examples of up on our GitHub, where we've got an Azure example deployment up there, is we've got one that's using an SSH deployment for Azure, so something a little bit on the simpler end of the spectrum. And then we've got one that's doing a full Azure Container Service deployment, creating infrastructure, creating policies and everything. They both use the exact same integration setup, so you don't actually have to do anything different to go from SSH to creating build machines with Azure Container Service. It's the same configuration, just the commands are different.
I see. One of the scenarios I've hit many, many, many times over the years is often developers, when they're building a piece of software or writing a particular feature or something, one of the issues they face is the company that they work with or work for or what have you doesn't give them, other than their own dev box, their specific kind of test environment to spin up the entire stack of the application and things and deploy their in-progress assets to it and go kick the tires and make sure it's working as expected and things. Is there a model for CodeShip Pro in that sense for providing that build pipe, CI/CD pipe out to private environments potentially that a company could leverage to say, hey, here's something you can give developers. They push a button or something. It takes a particular branch of code and goes and builds and spins up the infrastructure and goes and deploys that. Is that something you're finding customers using with CodeShip Pro, or is it something you guys actively support?
The answer is maybe kind of. And so what I mean by that is we've got, and I haven't mentioned this, but CodeShip Pro also has a local CLI. And so this is a tool any developer can install on their machine. And what the local CLI lets you do is it lets you run the entire CI/CD process, including building your containers, running your tests. And if you want to, which we don't recommend and we disable it by default, if you want to, you could even test those deployments out. Chances are you don't want to deploy when you're running on your laptop, but you never know. And so
maybe if you're just testing your deployment.
Yeah, if it's, let's say it's a proof of concept project with a sandbox instance, you could run a full working CI/CD pipeline from your laptop, or more realistically, your developers day-to-day can actually run the CI portion locally before even bothering to commit that code, so that they may not even waste time on a build that's going to fail. Or if they're troubleshooting a build that failed, rather than saying, I'm pretty sure this works, and sending up one of those dubious commit messages on GitHub, they can be sure by running the CodeShip CLI locally, because it's the same CLI we run on the build machines in production, which means in most cases, it's going to perform the same.
Yeah, I guess that's a really important point, right? That you want developers building assets and testing things locally the exact same way that you would for the final assets that get built by CodeShip Pro and then subsequently deployed to an environment, just to make sure that there's no sort of wrinkles that are different between build environments, and that you're all on the same versions of the tools and all that kind of stuff. So I could see that be really, really valuable.
Yeah, and that parity is, of course, an elusive goal. But with Docker, we've been able to bring that parity gap probably down as narrow as it's been so far.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess it's one of those never-ending fights, but we have definitely seen things get closer and closer with tools like Docker.
Exactly.
So a lot of folks listening, you know, come from that traditional Microsoft world. Many of them are dabbling in the cloud, but a lot of people are still building and deploying code for on-premises use and hosting and things like that. Is there anything in that space for those folks that are listening that are saying, hey, yeah, all these cloud tools are all fantastic and great, but I live in this world of air gaps and lockdown environments or highly secure environments and things like that. Is there anything in that space that where CodeShip plays?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We don't support anything on-premise at this point. But with that said, one of the things I actually wanted to mention, so I'm glad you kind of jogged my memory here, is I mentioned that the Microsoft stuff has kind of been coming to us, and we're sort of excited to be able to see this grow and get more into it. So if if you're looking at CodeShip and you're thinking that would be awesome if it worked on-premise, or I'm a Microsoft developer, I've got some different workflows that CodeShip didn't quite anticipate, we're actually in a place where that's feedback we'd love to hear, and we'd love to hear more from the Microsoft community about things we can learn from, things we could improve as we get further and further into trying to support the Microsoft community and understand the needs there. That kind of feedback and that kind of information we can learn from your audience is really important to us, and hopefully we can hear some back as well.
Yeah, well, I guess there's the call to action, right? For those of you who are listening that are feeling like you're caught in a space of wanting to use some of these really interesting and innovative cloud-based tools, but you want to do that in a more closed and confined environment, or in a more traditional Microsoft-style workflow, obviously get in touch with CodeShip and give the free plan a go, and then obviously get in touch with CodeShip about any feedback that you might have for them on playing in the Microsoft world better and some of those environments better. So I'm sure there'll be folks out there coming away from this thinking, this is great, I'm going to go and kick the tires. Where should people get started, and what would you recommend be the first step in terms of playing around with this, you know, kicking the tires with it?
Yeah, so if you're a reader, if you like to read documentation ahead of time, on the CodeShip documentation page, we have a pro getting started guide that you can read to that'll walk you through a proof of concept. If you like to just dive into code, you can go check out the CodeShip library GitHub page, where you'll find sample projects, you'll find the Azure library, as well as Rails and PHP and Node and a handful of other applications that you can just look at how it works on CodeShip. We've got some videos and webinars you can find. The account's free. You get 100 free builds a month, so you don't necessarily have to pay just to start playing around. Whatever your preference for picking it up there is, whether it's reading, watching, or just doing, there's resources online. Or you could just send us an email as well, solutions@codeship.com. We would be happy to jump on a call, give you a personal demo, answer your questions about your code, and just help however we can.
Awesome. That sounds pretty straightforward. And learning how to get started, and then obviously signing up for the free plan and getting one of your repos building and see how things work in action. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to mention to our audience that we haven't covered, or anything that you want to point out that you think they'd be missing if we didn't mention it?
Another thing I would definitely circle back on is you mentioned that these workflows can be new for a lot of Microsoft teams, but also just larger teams, enterprise teams. And that's absolutely the case we found, especially as we grow into more complex workflows supported on CodeShip Pro. So if anything doesn't quite make sense, or you're wondering how to translate what you're doing today, those are the kind of conversations we love to have. If you want to explain to us what your workflow is and just find out, hey, can we actually help you or not? We don't waste too much of your time with a big sales pitch or anything. So for anyone that's just kind of on the fence about whether they think they can move their company or move their team in this direction, certainly get in touch, because we'd be happy to jump on a call or chat with you more and just figure it out together.
Awesome. What's the best way people can get in touch with you or CodeShip in general, out on maybe the Twitterverse or through contact forms or what have you? What's the best way to get started kicking one of those conversations off?
Yeah, we are super reactive. So basically anywhere you get a hold of us will work. If you want to email us, solutions@CodeShip, you can tweet us @CodeShip, or any page of our website, you'll find a little icon in the bottom right that you can contact us, and we respond quickly.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, thanks again, Ethan, for taking the time to come on the show. Obviously, AC and I are very happy to have CodeShip supporting the show in the way that you are. We hope that our listeners have really enjoyed hearing a little bit more about CodeShip Pro and what you guys do, how it can help them in their day-to-day jobs, and also motivate them to go take a look at it and see how to get started with CodeShip Pro. So again, thank you very much for coming on the show, Ethan. Really appreciate it. And we will talk to you again shortly.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Chris.
Cheers.
Bye.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as an MP3 or WAV file and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up for our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.